What is so important about having church on Sunday? Why does church have to be on Sunday? After all, isn't that the day that everything fun happens? That's the day when all the fun activities take place. As many say, that's the only day I have off. It's the only day I have to sleep in. God's people had spent days reading God's Word, reading the laws they gathered together in the book of Nehemiah when they were recommitting their lives, their nation to the Lord God. But would it make any difference in their lives? One of the sinful lifestyles that led to their downfall and deportation to Babylon was their neglect of the command to honor the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath holy. Keeping the Sabbath was not an option. It was a command from God. It was a law. Jeremiah had warned Judah of this very sin that they were committing 150 years plus earlier, before they had been taken into captivity. God sent the prophet Jeremiah to tell the people how they were falling away from God and turning away from God. And one of the things that they were doing wrong was not honoring the Sabbath nor keeping it holy. As God's people now were rebuilding the nation physically and spiritually, part of their repentance was to change their old ways and recommit themselves to obeying God's law, including observing the Sabbath. It was a very, very serious thing in the eyes of God. Maybe, as I thought about this week, I thought maybe part of the problem today has something to do with empty churches and empty synagogues. Maybe we've forgotten how important it is to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Maybe we've forgotten that God commands us to honor it. And maybe we too have broken God's law. I want to commend all of you this morning for being here, for giving your time, committing your time this morning to coming to worship together, to give thanks to God, to praise God, to sing, to pray together. It's very, very important that we do this. There are a lot of issues today that keep us from coming together to church. A lot of issues that keep us from taking time out for God. A lot of things that we worship rather than God. Warm, comfy beds. Calendars that are extremely full, that the only time we have or space we have on them seems to be Sunday morning to do all kinds of other activities. Or get extra work done that didn't get done during the week. But there are many ways of observing the Sabbath, regardless of what we have to do on Sundays. A Sabbath doesn't have to be honored on a certain day at a certain time. And we're going to learn this as we go on. When God commanded the Israelites to honor the Sabbath, for them, it was on the sixth day of the week, on the seventh day of the week, excuse me. But as we get into the New Testament, things started to change. And although we can't make it to church on Sunday morning, we are still commanded by God to honor a Sabbath, to take a time in our lives to commit to Almighty God, apart from everything else in the world. When God said to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, He meant that we are to lift up that certain day or time and keep it separate from the rest of the world. It wasn't something that we multitask while we're reading our Bible, we're checking our texts and our emails. It's a time when we put away the world and we focus on God. What is the Sabbath? This is one of the things that they were now promising that they would not buy from the neighboring peoples as they brought merchandise into the city. Later on in Nehemiah, you read that he had actually literally closed up and locked the city gates to keep the neighboring peoples from bringing their goods into the city so that the city would be indulged in normal trade activity on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is a time to practice the three R's: rest, remember, and recommit. And you're going to see as we go on how a lot of these old Jewish and Hebrew ways of honoring the Sabbath have found their ways into our worship today in Christianity. First of all, this word Sabbath in the Hebrew language is Shabbat, which means an intermission. The Sabbath is an intermission, a time of intermission when you stop and you pause, you take a break from the rest of the world. There's also a word that comes from this word Shabbat in the Hebrew, which is Shabbat, which means to desist from exertion, to cease, and to celebrate. In other words, on a Sabbath, you were to cease what you were doing for the purpose of celebrating. In the Greek language, in the New Testament, the word Sabbath becomes the word Sabbaton, which refers to a day of weekly repose from secular avocations. In other words, it was a day of the week when the people took off from all their secular work and their secular lives to stop and focus on God and worship God. And there's a reason that God ordained that and commanded us to do that, because you and I both know that if He didn't ordain a day and command us, we wouldn't take it, right? The first place the Sabbath is mentioned is in the second chapter of Genesis. We all know the story. God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested. That word in the Hebrew language is Shabbat. He rested. He took an intermission. He ceased doing what He was doing. And God blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. In Exodus chapter 16, as we go through this, in Exodus chapter 16, the people were commanded to gather twice as much manna on the sixth day of the week, so that they could observe a Sabbath on the seventh. They would not have to go out and do the work on the Sabbath. And that was the only day that the manna would hold over to the next day. On the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. In Exodus chapter 20, when God speaks to the people the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment that God says to them is, remember the Sabbath, this word Shabbat. Remember the intermission, the day of ceasing, and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor daughter, nor your maidservant nor manservant, nor your animals, your alien within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we see where this understanding and this idea and this concept of Sabbath came from, that God Himself did this and commanded that His people do this. In Exodus chapter 23, we find what God said about working on the Sabbath. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. So we start to understand it's also a time for us to be refreshed. On the Sabbath day, there was to be an offering of 2 one-year-old lambs with a drink offering and a grain offering given as an atonement for unintentional sin. Let's make a connection here. The historical celebrating of the Sabbath was a day when the people would come and they would give an offering for atonement for unintentional sin. In Leviticus, we find that there's also to be a Sabbath every 7 years. This was to be a time of special instruction in the law. It was to be a time of canceling all debts. And there was to be no more sowing or reaping or pruning for that whole year. I want you to think about this. A special time of instruction in the law. A time of canceling debts. connection with what we do today, and I'll get to that in a moment. In Numbers chapter 15, we read about a man who was stoned by God's people in the desert for gathering wood on the Sabbath. So this was a very serious thing. And as the Jews were carried off into captivity in Babylon, they had no more temple. So what happened when the Jews got together in Babylon, they got together eventually at places they called the synagogue. These were places that were built specifically for the Jews that were deported all around the country to come together. And when they came together, they came to read the law and be instructed in the law so that they could memorize it and remember it and live by it and pass it on to their children. Think of the connection today. They came to be instructed in the law and in God's word, to pass it on to their children so that that would not be lost as they were aliens in a foreign country. Failing to obey this commandment was referred to actually as prostitution, in the sense that not observing it for the selfish reason was like going after the lusts of our own hearts. Biblically, observing the Sabbath on the seventh day as God had observed it was ceasing normal activity in order that the people might have time to celebrate what God had done for them and would have a time to give offerings for their sins committed. Now we're starting to make the connection today and how all that's filtered into our time of worship today. It was to be celebrated on the seventh day of the week because that was the day that God had taken a Sabbath when He created everything. So we say to ourselves, wouldn't Saturday be the proper day for us to meet? Why do we meet on Sunday? As we start to look into the New Testament, we find in Acts, the church made Sunday the day of worship and began to call it the Lord's Day. Thus, on the first day of the week, the day Jesus rose from the dead, became the day that many Christians, who were also Jewish at the time, came together to worship God. If we remember, Christianity was not to replace Judaism. It was to be a purer form of Judaism when the Messiah came. But as Jews started to be converted to Christianity and worshiping God, giving thanks to Jesus and following Jesus as Lord and Messiah, they started meeting on the first day of the week early in the morning. They would still go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. But on Sunday morning, they would meet together privately. Very early in the morning. Very first thing of the first day of the week. And they would celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and remember all that God had done in Jesus Christ, and therefore look forward to their own day of resurrection. They were resurrection people. They were converted, and now they were changing, and the practices in Christianity were changing. We read in the New Testament that Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath and said in Mark's Gospel that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because, you see, the Pharisees had put so many laws on the people and had condemned the people because they weren't legalistic going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, no, it isn't that way. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man in order that man might have a time when he could put down all of his tools, all of his cares, and go and focus on God and give God the time he deserves. Thanking God. Remembering what God had done. Recommitting his life to God. And confessing his sin. A time when Christians would come together and remember in their confession to God that their debts were canceled at the cross on Calvary. A time when they could bring their offerings in thanksgiving. But we also read that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. We read that the disciples were gathered together on the first day of the week. We read that Jesus came into the room with them on the first day of the week. Paul spoke on the Sabbath in synagogues, but he was rejected there by the Jewish people. And later he began to meet with Christians on the first day of the week, beginning in Ephesus. The whole concept started to change of meeting on the first day of the week for Christians. Because it's the Lord's Day. and we remember the Lord, our God and Savior. We remember how Jesus rose from the dead. We remember that He died on the cross for us, that our debts are canceled at the cross for us. No more of this temple worship, sacrificing animals. The one sacrifice has been made for all of us at the cross. Do you know that this is the only commandment not repeated after the day of Pentecost? When the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came, this was what we call the birthday of the church. And no longer were we commanded to meet on the seventh day. Now we were free to meet on any day, at any time. In Judaism, the Sabbath was a day of celebration and worship when one would bring their offerings. There would be special instruction in the law, a time of confession and canceling debts, and one would cease from working and commit that time to God. That evolved in Christianity to be not a certain day nor time, but that we take time. Our understanding is that we take time to give to God and God alone in our busy time. That we're no longer legalists as the Jews sometimes were, but that in Jesus Christ we're free to take a Sabbath on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, maybe more than once during the week. Hey, the big thing now is two-a-days in school sports, right? Heaven forbid we have two-a-days at church. No, we don't have time for that, right? You see what I'm saying? It got to be with God's people that they didn't have time to get together and give to God. We don't have time. We're busy trading with our neighbors. We're busy buying and selling. We're busy making money. People say to me, well, I just got this job. I'm not going to be coming to church because I have to work on Sundays. I look at them and I say, why did you take a job where you have to work on Sundays? Well, I need the money and this and that. I say to them, listen, don't you think God would have blessed you more had you said, I will not take a job on Sunday? Now, I understand that there are certain times and exceptions. But to willfully put something in the place of the time that the people of God gather together traditionally and biblically to worship God and give thanks and praise, what do you think God thinks about that? And now, we're no longer interested in rest, remembering and recommitting our lives. We're more interested in how much more we can do on the seventh day. Or I'm sorry, on Sunday, on the first day of the week. What we can get done if we just stay home from church. A man told me something once that I'll never forget as long as I live, and he was absolutely right. If you can't get it done in 6 days, you're not going to get it done in one more. How do we choose to observe a Sabbath? Do we even choose to observe a Sabbath at all? There are many opportunities for us to take that time. The Bible doesn't say that it has to be a certain time period or length of time, a certain number of hours. It just says that we are commanded to take a day and commit it to the Lord Almighty. I want to commend several of the folks in our parish that have kids in sports. And what's really awesome to see is that when there are activities in the afternoon, they're still in church with their children on Sunday morning. Awesome display of commitment to honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. I know how important this is. During a period of my own life, I gave up my time after being raised for so many years in the church. Sunday after Sunday, I gave up Sunday mornings over a period of time in my life to set my behind on a dirt bike and tear around in the woods from Michigan to New York to Florida. On those Sundays, though, something inside was speaking to me. And I knew my God was saying, all right, you go do what you want to do. It's not what I want you to do. But you think you know what's better, you go ahead. Enough so that on the Sundays that I wasn't racing, I was back in church. And I knew it was important, though I was out doing that, to set aside time every Sunday morning to pray, to kneel at my bedside before I left home traveling, to pray to God, to give Him that time to bless my life and my day. Taking the time. And when we take the time, God blesses us. When we don't take the time, look what happens. Like the little girl said, we get in trouble, don't we? We get in trouble. God promised that if His people would turn back to Him, He would embrace them and forgive them and bless them. It takes commitment, it takes sacrifice, and it takes a strong will to obey God in all of life. But it's everything or nothing. We just can't take bits and pieces that we like and say, well, God will understand. We can see what God understood when the Israelites failed to obey His commandment. He understood that this meant that they didn't revere Him, that they didn't trust Him, and that He surely wasn't their God. That's what God understood from their actions. There's so much to do on Sundays. Why does church have to be on Sunday, we say? Because Sunday is a Christian Sabbath. Traditionally and biblically, but I want to remind you, not legally. And it's a time when Christians want to get together, as they've been doing for thousands of years. But it's not a legal issue that if we don't come to church on Sunday morning, we're going to get kicked out of God's kingdom. And I don't want to mislead you on this, because the important thing here is taking a time during your week. Traditionally and biblically, we take it Sunday morning. That's when we gather. That's when we remember the debts are canceled. That's when we bring our offerings. That's when there's special instruction. That's traditionally and biblically when we do it. But the important thing is that we do it. That we give God time during our days and our weeks. What does God understand about our practice of observing the Sabbath? What is He seeing in us in our lives in the way that we honor the Sabbath and keep it holy? I remember a man one day said to me, I have church down in the woods along the creek when I'm fishing. Well, that's okay, I guess. But how has that fulfilled God's commandment to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy? What time during his fishing is he setting aside for God? There are many, many ways that we can observe the Sabbath, taking God, time for God, committing our lives to God. But the important thing is that we do it. And sadly, there are empty pews here today because many are not doing it. Some can't because they're sick or they're not capable of coming physically. We understand that. And that's not what the Bible's talking about. What the Bible's talking about is willfully not honoring and obeying the command to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. A time of intermission, a time to cease, a time to celebrate that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and has sent His only begotten Son to save us. If that's not important to some people, that they come together with other Christians, well, I don't know how they're going to enjoy being in eternity, because that's what we're going to be doing in eternity, is worshiping God for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes